We're speaking with designer Aaron Koblin, and he has put together a very, very nifty animation using one day of FAA data. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Can you explain how you got this idea?
Well, I was talking with a few of my classmates at UCLA about kind of the complexity of man-made systems, particularly aerial systems above our heads. So from airplanes to hot air balloons to satellites, we were just kind of interested in how complex those systems were. We thought about trying to visualize those. So that ended up turning into a project called Celestial Mechanics, which was done by, like I said, my classmates Gabe Dunn and Scott Hessel. And from that, I found the FAA data to be particularly amazing and just started spending a lot of time playing with it.
For someone who wasn't able to see it, what would they be looking at if they were looking at your animation?
Well, I think what's really interesting about the animation is through the architecture, you really get a sense of the pulse or the ebb and flow that the country goes through every day, because you see basically a period where the night flights, the red eyes are going, and everything's kind of sparse and black. And then what you see is on the East Coast, everything kind of blooms in the morning, where everybody starts taking off and the flights just move westward. And you see the entire shape of the country kind of emerge out of the paths of the airplanes. And then eventually, of course, they hit San Francisco and Los Angeles and then follow down in a nice little trail to Hawaii. So you kind of get a real sense of the geography of the country just by looking at the paths of the airplanes.
Now, in what form did you start with that data?
I get the data in log files, so basically 700 megabytes of text for the nerdy people like myself who are interested in that. But basically just lots of text files that I can parse through, and it explains exactly what type of aircraft is where at what moment. And then I use that to create a computer program that makes the animation.
I mean, it's totally breathtaking. In fact, one of our producers here is using it now as his desktop background. He blew it up because he likes it so much. I mean, it's really... So, and then you try to... there's a few different iterations of this. Can you explain sort of the different versions?
Yeah, well, I think that was part of the hardest... One of the hardest things about making this project was actually choosing just one specific visualization, because basically when you have a computer program that's parsing the data, you know, there's a nearly infinite number of ways that you can visualize the data. So I just started playing with it and came up with a ton of different visualizations. And I kind of picked a few of my favorites. And I continue to kind of par them down and narrow it down to the ones that I think are really the best that kind of show the system and are also adequately complex and beautiful.
You were saying visualizing man-made systems. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that in general as sort of a discipline or as a field of thought?
Yeah, well, I mean, right now we live in a time where pretty much everything is being monitored and more things are being monitored. So we have a ton of data that's being gathered. And what's really interesting is it's not being gathered in these kind of summary reports like you see throughout history, but it's being gathered in a real-time way, which means that we have all this very rich time sample data, which kind of describes how systems change and evolve over time. So I've been really interested in looking at ways to visualize those real-time systems, and actually that's what I'm doing now working at Yahoo, is looking at a ton of different social data that we have coming in real-time and different ways that we can visualize that and kind of understand what's going on. And I think that there's a lot of power in using our human faculties of perception to kind of understand what's going on. And a lot of the stuff, you visualize it, and it instantly makes sense, and you can kind of instantly start to ask the right types of questions.
I mean, is there something specific that you could point to?
I think there's a number of specific things. When you first look at it, I mean, I think the geography makes itself very clear. So you immediately see, oh, there's San Francisco, there's Los Angeles, there's Florida, there's Hawaii. And then you start to look a little closer, and you notice some things you might not be so familiar with, like the no-fly zone over Nevada. So you get this large black triangle that becomes totally apparent where there's virtually no flights moving there. Another odd thing I noticed, and also a lot of people online in the internet forums started pointing out an island that seems to be in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Pacific, and it's called the Midway Islands, and apparently there's a landing strip there, which I wasn't even familiar with. But
yeah, you can see
quite
that.
A bit of activity. Yeah, at first I thought it was an error, and most people online thought it was some kind of maybe an aircraft carrier or some military base. It was kind of interesting to find out that there is actually something out there.
Are your choices of colors, for example, is that sort of arbitrary, or is there some other meaning?
Well, the colors are relatively arbitrary, but they're relative. So the colors are chosen based on the aircraft type. So when you see all of the different colors, they do represent different types of aircraft. And in some of the visualizations, I tried to loosely base the thickness of the line to the size of the aircraft. So you can get a kind of a sense of, you know, where the larger international flights are going versus the smaller domestic flights. But I think no matter what, if you look at the different colors, you kind of get a sense of what type of aircraft are where.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Brian Park Project.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.